This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Dave Preston, WTOP. Good friend. How are you, my friend?
Good morning and Merry Snickers, Tony.
Merry Snickers to you too, man. Four wins for this Washington football team. Do you call them the football team, by the way, when you just talk about them? Or do you have to say Washington football team? What's the way it's discussed in the D.C. area?
Well, everyone has their own style, unfortunately, with this. What I've done is I'll refer to them as Washington in my first reference, Burgundy and Gold in the second. Then I'll refer to them as the team in the third one. And then after that, you're back to Washington. So
there you go. That's a good way to do it because I have a hard time describing them.
Yeah, it's made us a tiny bit creative, but when the listener knows that you're talking about the NFL, you don't need to say football team. So it's
right.
Unfortunately, the 7-hour meeting that we had about what should we call them, never happened. So that's a nice day to waste. We'll see you on the conference call.
6-6, 4 in a row, and we've been kind of bantering about this week, going, all right, look. What do I make of this 4-game win streak? Are they a threat to Dallas? Yeah, beating the Buccaneers is great. Panthers, Seahawks, and Raiders all have their struggles. But a win is a win. How is Washington doing this?
What I'm impressed with this team, Tony, is the fact that they made a lot of losing plays over the first 8 weeks. You had some games where I think they had 6 trips into the red zone against Denver, didn't come up with any points. They should have won the game against Green Bay. Again, had some multiple field goal attempts blocked because the kicker that they picked up off the scrap heap, who hadn't kicked competitively in 5 years, found the offensive lineman's rear end with the football. And, it's not the butt fumble, it's the butt field goal. So you saw a lot of losing plays in the first 8 weeks that you haven't seen since. They've been doing the little things. I think and two keys, Tony, is they've been much better defensively on third down. They're still last in the league, but before the bye week, they were allowing 60% conversions by the opponents. They've been much better since then. And offensively with Taylor Heinicke, they've actually been moving the chains on third down more often than not. Those, I think, are the three factors: making winning plays, getting things done on third down.
Can you paint a picture, or at least give us an idea of Heinicke's rise, these doubters that keep coming up in these conversations where people want to write that he's proving the doubters wrong, that he's fighting the doubters? Who are the doubters? Where did they come from? How has his career gone through that roller coaster?
I think the doubters, it's the NFL scouts because he didn't fit a certain mold when you look at these quarterbacks, Tony, who make their way into the NFL, they either look really impressive, meaning they're 6'5", they got a cannon for an arm, or they put up great stats at the major level, or they look like, Adonis, and they're at the FCS level. He was a guy who did the little things at Old Dominion. So he didn't necessarily impress the scouts per se, but he's a guy who's hung around and stuck on a roster as long as he has. A lot of people in Washington tried to compare him to different quarterbacks here and there, and Trent Green was a name that came up, a guy who bounced around on a couple different NFL rosters, finally got the opportunity in Washington in what everybody thought was going to be a lost season. Trent Green didn't stay in Washington. He wound up signing with the Rams, got hurt, then went on to Kansas City, but that might be the career arc that we're looking at here, a guy who it took him a while to find the right system and the right situation to show what he could do.
Yeah, we've seen a couple of these guys in the past. Some of them make it, some of them don't. Is there still a reluctancy are people cautiously looking at him going, yeah, he's the guy for now, I don't know, long term? Or are there people saying, hey, maybe this is the guy?
I think there's a little bit of both, Tony, and I think it's amazing how reluctant Washington is to anoint their quarterback of the present, because you looked at Kirk Cousins a few years ago, put up great numbers, broke all of Sonny Jurgensen's records. Granted, it's the 21st century, not the 60s, so it's a different offensive world, but here's a guy who rewrote the record book in his 3-year span, made every start during that 3-year span that he was the starter, led them to a playoff berth, almost led them to within a whisker of the playoffs the next year, easily the high watermark of the Jay Gruden era. And fans were, when he left, they're like, okay, yeah, we never really bought into him to begin with. So it's amazing that the fans here have not done that. I think with RG3, they grabbed onto him and they hoped that he was going to be the guy. But Jason Campbell was a first-round pick, a starter that people never really warmed up to. And even when he had the job, you didn't feel like he had it. And this is a franchise that hasn't had a regular starting, that hasn't had a franchise quarterback since, I'm going to say, Joe Theismann, who had the job for 7 or 8 years. Even Mark Rippon and Doug Williams and Jay Schrader, they had the job for 2 or 3 years, and boom, things, either injuries or ineffectiveness, caused them to move. I think, and fans are waiting for the other shoe to drop where he goes out and throws 4 picks against somebody.
Yeah, it is interesting because we always talk about Joe Gibbs winning 3 Super Bowls with 3 different quarterbacks. That's great, but you usually don't win 3 Super Bowls in an era with 3 different quarterbacks.
No. And I think the case there was you had a great offensive line. You also had a great general manager in Bobby Bethard, getting him the right guys. I think the USFL folding gave them guys like Gary Clark, Kelvin Bryant. What I like about the roster that we have in Washington right now, and when I say we, the media, not me being on the team, is the fact that Ron Rivera has turned over this roster in the last 2 years. The problem with a lot of the early Dan Snyder-owned rosters in Washington was you had a really good top 10. You had a lot of playmakers in that top 10, whether it was Deshaun Watson, or I mean, no, you had, Pierre Garçon, Jordan Reed. But players 15 through 35, which they comprise the heart and soul of your roster. It felt like they always scrimped on those guys, and it always seemed to come back to cost them, because even though the stars do win these games, and this is a quarterback league, and the wideouts make the big plays, it's a 53-man roster league as well, where guys get hurt and you need depth. And I think that's where we've seen this team really shine the last 4 weeks, where they've been able to, Jamin Davis is banged up. So what? They've got another guy in there. Chase Young, Montez Sweat, 2 major playmakers on the defensive line, Tony. They're banged up, but you know what? The guys who come in, they don't try to be superstars. They just do what Jack Del Rio, the defensive coordinator, wants them to do. And defensively, the last couple of weeks, they've handcuffed, just about everybody. I think they're allowing under 20 points per game during this winning streak, and in the 21st century, under 20 points per game is pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I was just going to ask about Ron Rivera, because when a new guy comes in, it takes a few years for the team to feel 100% his. You know, we've seen star players have to leave because of defensive scheme change and things like that. So what percentage 2 years in, what percentage would you say this Washington team is now what Ron Rivera likes to do and wants to do?
I think there's still obviously guys that he's going to look to replace, because on any good NFL team, especially in the 21st century with free agency and player movement, you're always looking to turn over maybe, 10% of your roster every year, 5 to 10, just because of age and stuff like that, and you don't know, and you're always trying to get better at every position. I think this is his team, because I think a lot of guys at the tail end of the Jay Gruden era weren't buying into whatever Jay Gruden had to sell. And right or wrong, whether it was the fact that the owner, and Jay and what have you, and Bruce Allen, who is gone now. So anybody here right now is somebody who wants to be here, because 2 years into it, the guys who are here just for the paycheck have taken that paycheck and they've gone elsewhere. So I think this is a team that is all in on Ron. The fact that he is a cancer survivor and went through that last year with this team, knowing what he was going through, and he was still a very active coach. He took his treatments, but then he was here. He was all in on this team last year. I think that means something as well. So I think this, and you see how this team is playing for him, maybe in a way that previous rosters didn't play for Gruden, maybe even previous rosters didn't play for Mike Shanahan, because here's a guy who is a former longtime NFL player. That's a certain amount of street cred that no matter what sort of genius you are on offense or defense, or whatever sort of manager you are of a roster or player, that works with these players on a fundamental level that being a whiz kid or being a genius doesn't.
We know that divisional games are really important, and everybody knows about the NFC East and the battles that go within these 4 teams. You could draw 2 out of a hat, and there's a rivalry that's years and years and decades old. Washington is going to play all of its remaining games now in the NFC East. Is that something that is is there an optimistic side to that schedule? Is there a pessimistic side to that schedule? Because we were talking to a guest yesterday, Russell Baxter, who said the NFC East is now going to be dictated by how Washington plays its final five games.
I think your friend is absolutely right. And I'm not a fan of that schedule where you play all your five divisional games this late in the season. I mean, we've been commissioners of our fantasy football leagues. You don't have the Dread Pirate Roberts play the Asgard Argyles twice in a three-week stretch. That just isn't done. I mean, come on. Smoothie McSmooth has no business playing the Pythons and the Torpedoes back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Come on. I mean, I offer up my services to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell.
I agree.
I may have been a 30 for 30 or some, maybe it was on the NFL Network, about that old couple who lived in, like, Secaucus, New Jersey, who set up the NFL schedule in the 70s and 80s. What? That's like for the genius that Pete Rozelle was to still do that. It's like, buddy, whatever. But I think I'm not a fan of having all of these games late, as I mentioned, but I think you're spot on. Having five division games this late allowed this team that had yet to get its acting gear when they started off the season 2-6. It gave them that little confidence in the back of their head saying, you know what? I know that right now we are an absolute mess. There was one stretch against, I think, L.A. to begin the season against the Chargers where they had three penalties in four plays, took them out of field goal range. They were rotating kickers. They had a quarterback that they lost that it took a while for Heinicke to get his feet wet. But I think the fact that they had a backloaded schedule, it gave this team confidence that all we got to do is get a little bit better. And if we're in good shape by the time we get to week 13, if we're even 5-7, we got a shot to get it done. And they're 6-6. They've won four in a row. And they don't control their destiny, Tony, because we know that no one controls their own destiny. That's why it's destiny. You're destined or you're not. But the Washington football team does control its own path to the playoffs here.
Always good talking to you, my friend, Dave. We'll got to get you on later on if this team does make a move. Always good talking to you, my friend.
My pleasure. Happy holidays.
You got it, my man. Dave Preston, WTOP on Washington, who will close out again. Five games. They're going to have two against the Eagles, two against the Cowboys, and one against the Giants to close out the season. Now, just to give you in context, Dallas has one game outside of its division against Arizona. The Giants play the Chargers coming up this weekend. Philadelphia is on a bye, but when the Eagles return, they will close out with four games within the division. But Washington is the only one that will play five straight divisional games out of the four teams to close out the regular season. It's Tony D, Ron Culver. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.